Read us what you've written about sensuality, Wendy.
Mm. Well, I had an inauspicious introduction to the world of sensuality. As a student, I once went to a grand old Turkish bath in Istanbul. The place was packed with women soaping each other at the marble basins, and when I got used to peering through the steam, I was horrified to see that I was the only one there completely nude. Everyone else was wearing knee-length baggy white knickers. When they noticed this, a heated argument sprang up, with women yelling and pointing at me from all sides. The old masseuse hobbled over, looked me up and down, and cackled. Then she lifted her arms above her head and began rolling her hips and singing. The worst part was when she tried dragging me to my feet to dance with her, to everyone's amusement, except mine. But who knows what happened in my subconscious that afternoon, because many years later, I became a dancer. Not only that, it was Middle Eastern dance that drew me into the world of sensual enjoyment. As far as I know, dancing's just about the most pleasurable sensual activity we can enjoy in public without getting arrested. But down the years, different dances have been banned all over the world. Even the waltz was frowned on in its early days. As one writer to the Times put it, "The waltz is of quite too loose a character, and unmarried ladies should refrain from it altogether, both in public and private." Dancing, as I see it, is a source of self-expression and sensual pleasure for its own sake. But even now, journalists like to reduce it to its lowest common denominator and write about it as just a substitute for sex. When it comes to sensual pleasure, we have a bit of a problem. It's assumed that enjoying ourselves should involve either an element of self-denial, or else that it must be accompanied by either discomfort or pain. I remember once taking an elderly relative to have a head massage for her birthday. "Will it hurt?" she said, worried. When I was setting out on my dance career, I met an Indian man one night at a party. Someone told him I performed Middle Eastern dance, and he looked me up and down and said, only half jokingly, "And are you proud of what you do?" I contemplated the evil and corrupting nature of my work and said, "Well, what do you think I do?" I knew, of course, that he was picturing me prancing around on stage, wearing little more than my birthday suit, making all kinds of lewd movements. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. So it's rather puzzling to me that all the four dance shows I've created for the theatre have resulted at some point in my being attacked. I have the dubious distinction of having been banned by Christians from rehearsing in their hall, as well as threatened by Muslim fundamentalists for the same show. Of course, one expects to be challenged by fundamentalists, who believe that the sight of a woman moving her body rhythmically to music will inflame men's lusts and make them forget their duty to religion and society. And after all, Islam is only the last in a long line of religions which believe more or less the same thing. But being challenged by that Indian man was more surprising, for Indian culture has always celebrated sensuality. Thousands of years ago, temple dancers were treated like goddesses in India. According to Hinduism, the spiritual and the physical are equally valuable, and worship is an exercise in beauty designed to awaken the senses. Hence, the dancing priestesses. As anyone who's ever been to India knows, you can guarantee that every one of your senses is going to be delighted as well as challenged to the limit. The colours are dazzling, the music's hypnotic, the spicy food makes you gasp. "Come in, feast your senses," they say as you enter a carpet shop, slipping your shoes off and feeling the pile deliciously between your toes. And they don't stint on sensual pleasures, even when it comes to religion. According to the doctrine of Tantra, release through sensual enjoyment is all part of the soul's journey towards enlightenment. So when it comes to sensuality, I have to say I'm with the tantrics.
Wendy Buenaventura. Wendy, I have to confess that I'm one of those people that can't dance and won't dance.
I'm sure you can, really.
Well, can I? I mean, is there a dancer inside me? Is there a sensual side inside me? And how can I release it? I'm 53. Is it too late?
I think we're all dancers in our hearts. to be honest. Yes, I think that I think British culture until recently made it terribly difficult for us to dance. But you know, it's interesting that we don't really have a national dance that we do. In Spain, they have flamenco, and in other countries, in Africa, Africans just get up and do their thing. In Argentina, they get up and do the tango. But you know, we'd be hard put to actually think of an English dance that everybody...
Apart from Morris dancing.
Morris dancing, which nobody does. You know, or just bopping up and down with the lights low, everybody at the same time where nobody can see anybody else. I mean, one interesting aspect, I think, of Middle Eastern culture is, in terms of dance, is that the idea is that you get up to entertain your friends. You know, you don't all get up in a bunch where nobody can see anybody else. The idea is that you want to do something to delight other people's senses. So you get up and show what you can do. And everybody around you calls out usually wonderful things.
Catherine.
It's another bit of Protestant denial, isn't it? It's not true that nobody does Morris dancing. Morris dancers, whom I know, derive enormous spiritual and, to a certain extent, I think, sensual satisfaction from the ritualistic repetition of the movements.
Yes.
We shouldn't knock it.
No, I'm sure that's true. But when you get up to dance, you don't think, right, let's all do some Morris dance. Do you know what I mean? As a
true,
dance,
and of course they don't like women doing it either, so that's yes.
Exactly.
Do you also think that you can't sing, Matthew? Because I meet, just as Wendy meets people who say they can't dance, I meet people who say, I can't sing, and they always can.
No, I have a singer inside me, as it were. I can sing in my head, and I think that if I practised, I could learn to express a certain musicality that's inside me, but I don't feel a dancer kind of struggling to get out. And as soon as I dance, I just feel so stupid.
Dancing is really the ultimate expression of joy and using your body basically using your body to move, to create. It's very daring to dance. I understand that you can be repressed. Myself as a 53-year-old as well, I've also difficulty sometimes to join the dance floor. Although pubs, clubs have never been my love, so no. I'm quite happy to stay where I am.
Well, but, you know, it can be just like having a conversation with somebody, can't it? Dancing, you do something. That's the nice thing again in Middle Eastern dance, that you, with a flick of the hip, you have a little bit of humour which you're directing towards someone.
Do you think words are actually a barrier to sensual pleasure, that not our obsession with language, but our increasing resort as the most developed of all the species to language and to thinking everything in terms of words is actually separating us, or tending to separate us, from an honest and direct experiencing of the senses?
No, I think language, for me, is a sensual pleasure in itself. And English being the greatest language, with the most resources to express fine nuances of feeling and sensuality, is, yes, it's a sensual thing in itself.
Ah, here, I put in a word for the French, something I never thought I'd do on with Raymond Blanc doing it so adequately on his own. But though I don't speak French well, I do recognise in the French language something that has more potential sensuality about it than my own. I love my language, but it's not a sensuous language, is it, English?
Oh, I think it can be. You just have to feel it in the
mouth.
Talk
it like you do.
Feel it in the mouth as you say it.
Yes. Do you, Raymond, see in the English language any potential sensual delight?
The French language on food is made of not just a few words, but thousands of words, which have created a huge vocabulary and a language of food, which is about romantic values as much as the food itself. And for example, if you take a word, amourette, what is amourette? That means, if I translate it into English, it means little loves. Little love. And you know what it is? It is the spinal cord of veal, or spinal cord of rabbit, or spinal cord of anything in English. So, but the French managed to make it into something completely, incredibly sensuous. And
well, I think that, you know, to hear a great actor or actress reading lines beautifully, or reciting a poem beautifully, whatever the language is, English, French, whatever, Swahili, you know, it's again, we're indulging and enjoying our sense of hearing here, aren't we, just as we do when we're listening to music. And, you know, that it can send you, hearing beautiful, beautiful words can actually send you into a complete reverie. They can make your spine tingle.
I think you're right, and I am well rebuked. With me to discuss sensuality have been Wendy Buenaventura, Raymond Blanc, and Catherine Bott. I'm Matthew Paris, and this has been Off the Page. Goodbye.